And then this is the first time, you know, both of us were together, and he said, I'm not happy to do it for you. Just kidding. But but anyway, you know, it is, I'm really happy to, you know, to share, have the privilege to share the message once a month here. And I think this year our arrangement is I'm going to come here once a month, and my wife will be here also once in 2 months, and also Mark can, you know, have, you know, some time for him to take a rest or and do his preparation. Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can gather together in your church, in your body, and we thank you that we could be your children. We could having the mercy from you, and also we pray that we can open our heart this morning to you, so that your words can dwell in us, and also your spirit can be with us to understand. Help us to understand your word, and help us to obey your word in every daily life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yes, sorry. Thank you. Can we read these two verses once again? 1, 2, 3. And no one pour new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wines will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. In the ancient world, there were no bottles, and there were no recycled cans. People would put liquids in skins, or like animal skin tied together and used like canteens. Obviously, at time when went on, the skin would become harder, brittle, and they would eventually break and crack, and the liquids would spill out. Particularly if it was new wine and you put in the old wine skin, it would continue to ferment and also would produce additional gases and cause the wine skin to explode. And when Jesus told the parable of the wineskin, he said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. This is really an illustration of life. Luke, especially Luke chapter 5, verses 38, he said, new wine must be poured into new wineskin. New wine must be poured into new wineskin. New situations require new structure. You get a new job, and you are going to learn new skills. New relationship require new ways of relating. So today I want to ask you a question. What are our old wineskins? What are your old wineskins? Your old wineskins are probably the old ways of thinking, the old ways of acting, talking, listening, or responding that worked well before, but they are not going to cut it now. And you got to put new wine in new wineskin. We need to put new wine in a new wineskin. So what are the 2014 going to hold for us? You know, we just, you know, step into the new year. So what are the 2014 going to hold for us? You can read what the psychics say, and they will be glad to give you a prediction. What is going to happen to you this year? But what can you expect in 2014? I want to tell you three things. You can count on three things you will have. The first thing is, okay, this is the wineskin. Okay, the first thing is new problems. The second thing is new pressure. And the third thing is new possibility. How do I make it? Cope? Success? The answer is character. Our character. You know, character always overcomes circumstances. Make this new year the year of character development and work on our character in this new year. And there are three characters, quality, that are indispensable to face the future. The Bible teaches three characters, qualities you need to have to face the future. And these are three qualities I want to share with you this morning. The first quality I want to share with you is the character of of creativity. New problems will require creativities. How many of you last year anticipate the problems you are facing, you are going to face this year? And most of us have no idea what problem will come, you know, in this year. And the bad news is you will have more problems in your life. I'm going to have more problems in my life. I'm going to have more problems in my family. And you are going to have more problems in your family. But the good news is they are not always the same. They are not the same as the old ones. We are going to get a whole new set of problems in the future in our life. And new problems will require new solutions. New problems will require new solutions. The old way of thinking and relating and attitudes may not work. The Bible says, can we read together these verses? The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. So I read an article, you know, about 60 excuses for a closed mind. You can just search it from Google. He said, you know, we tried that before. Our place is different. And then it costs too much. We don't have enough time. We have never done it before. Against our company policy. It's not our problems. And you are right. But we are not ready for that. Let's form a committee. Let's sleep on it. It's too much trouble to change. It is impossible. We have always done it this way. You see, lots of excuses. Most people spend more time and energy trying to get around problems than they do solving them. You know, you say, I'm not creative, but I want to share with you that yes, we are. We are creative. You know, we are made by the Creator, so we are creative. The biggest block is our attitude. Your attitude and thoughts. The Bible reminds us, can we read together? Your attitudes and thoughts must be constantly changing for the better. You must be a new and different person, holy and good. Okay. Our attitude needs to be constantly changed. Your attitude must be constantly changing. I heard about an old man, 105 years old, who was being interviewed by some reporter, and they asked the old man, they say, in 105 years, I will bet you have seen a lot of changes. He said, yes, and I have been against every one of them. I've been against every one of them. I saw a lot of changes in my life, but I'm against every one of them. So brother and sister, in our life, in your life, you cannot have hardening of the attitude. You have got to keep going, growing, developing. Attitudes are like, you know, people say that attitudes are like diaper. You know, I Google it from the Google also. Now, what is attitude? Okay, attitude are like diapers. What does that mean? That means that, you know, every once in a while, we do need to change or the place start stinking. Okay, we do need have to change or to reveal our own attitude. You know, you need attitude. I need attitude. We all need old ways of looking at things and new solutions for new problems that are coming along. So have you noticed that, you know, sometimes easy tasks become difficult when you have a bad attitude? Have you noticed that? And in this year, I want to remind you that we can't control all things that are going to happen in our life, in our future. In this year, we cannot control the direction of the wind, but at least we need to think about the Word of God. But at least we can set ourselves. You cannot control the problems, but you can choose how you are going to respond to them. New problems will require creativity. And the Bible reminds us, can we read that again? The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, He looks for them. Are we an intelligent man? Are you an intelligent man? You know, in fact, he looks for the new ideas. Second, new pressure will require conviction. What is conviction? What is conviction? Conviction is a willingness to stand up for what you believe. Conviction is the willingness for me to stand up what I believe. You don't cave in to culture. A magazine come up with list of what is in and what is out. And if I'm going to judge my life by, you know, by magazine, Paul remind us in Rome chapter 12, verses 2. Can we read that together? Don't let the world squeeze you in its mold, but let God remake you so your whole attitude of mind is changed. There are going to be a lot of pressure on your life in this year. There are going to be a lot of pressure, you know, in my life, in my family, you know, with my children in this year. Materialism, sexuality, to lower your standard, alcohol, many things. So if you don't stand for something today, if we don't stand for something today, we are going to fall for anything. If we don't have any conviction, you know, we are going to, what do you say? The world will squeeze you in its mold. Have you decided what value are you going to base your life on in your future? Have you decided what value you are going to base on your life, you know, in this year? If you haven't, you need to decide what you are going to do. And ask yourself, what values are important to you? What values are important to him? One of the most popular songs, you know, in 1980s, when I was, you know, in high school, okay, it was this guy. Do you know him? Okay, do you know him? Boy George. Okay, it's not George, it's Boy George. Okay, he got a song, you know, I really love that song, but I never think more about that song. I'm a man without conviction. Have you ever heard that? I'm a man without conviction. Have you heard that? I'm a man who doesn't know how to sell the contradiction. You come and go, you come and go. And then the chorus, what's the chorus? Gamma, 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 gamillion. Have you heard that? Probably you are too young or too old. Too young or too old. I'm not young and not old. Okay. So, you know, a lot of things influence us and we don't know. You know, the culture, you know, try to squeeze us in its mold. But today I want to encourage all of us that we need in this new year or in the future a man and woman of conviction. We can't live without conviction. Men and women who are not wishy-washy. Men and women who say, I don't care if everybody is doing it. It's not right. And I'm not going to do it. And I will do what's right and not let the world squeeze me into its mold. Do you have such kind of conviction? Where do you get the strength for that? Where do we get the strength for that, you say? Two places. God's presence and God's word. Two places we can get the strength, okay? From God's presence and God's word. Can we read it together? Those who trust in the Lord will find their strength renewed. Those who trust in the Lord. Do we trust in the Lord? Do we trust in the Lord for help? The Bible promises us if we trust in the Lord for help, we'll find our strength renewed. In the second verses, I want us to read together. Those who love your Lord have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Do you love the law of law? Do you love His word? Do you read the Bible in simple? Do you eager to open the Bible and read the Bible? Those who love your word, the Bible reminds us, those who love His word have great peace. You believe that? Do you have such this kind of conviction? If I read the His word, I'm going to have great peace in my life. Do you have this kind of conviction? And anything causes to me, okay, and nothing causes, you know, us to stumble. So why do we have all kind of stress in our life sometimes? Why do we have all kind of, you know, depression in our life? Why does God allow stress in our life? Why does God allow those kind of problems happen in our life? You know, in Second Corinthians chapter 1, 8 and 5, I really love these verses because every time when I read these verses, I know what is the will of God, why I'm facing all this kind of stress in my life. Paul said, we were under great pressure, he said, for beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Can you feel that? Can you feel the depression? Can you feel the stress in Paul's life? But Paul say, what does Paul say? What did Paul say? Paul say, but this happened so we might not rely on ourselves, but on who? On God. This happened so we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. That is the conviction. That's the conviction. Paul said, God allow all these things in our lives so that we can rely on Him. And Paul's probably one of the greatest Christian who ever lived. And yet he said, one time I was so discouraged that I despair even of life itself. And he said what? What did he say? He said it taught him to look to God. To look to God. It taught him to look to God. New pressure are going to require conviction. And where do you get your conviction? Not from a textbook, not from magazine, not from television show, but from the Word of God. So what is the difference between a conviction and an opinion? You know, an opinion is something you will argue about, but a conviction is something I'm going to die for. You are going to die for it. So what are the convictions that are going to hold you up when the pressure is on your life? New problems require creativity. And new pressures require convictions. You need to know what you stand for. I need to know what I'm going to stand for and what I'm going to die for it. Thirdly, new possibility will require courage. New possibility will require courage. I always trust that it is going to be full of wonderful plans that God has for us in our life. In this year, in the next 5 years, I trust that it is going to be full of wonderful plans that God has for me and for you. And they are great possibility. God wants to do great things in my life. God wants to do great things in your life. And in this year, in the next year, or in the next 5 years, next 10 years, but it will not happen automatically. It will not happen automatically. We have got to step out in faith. We have got to step out in faith. And there is an element of risk. So we need courage. We need courage. Book of Hosea, chapter 10, 12. Can we read together? Plow new ground for yourselves. Plant righteousness and reap the blessing your devotion to me will produce. It's time for you to turn to me. your Lord, and I will come and pour out blessing on you. Can you circle, you have the sermon outline? You can circle the words, plow, plant, and reap. Okay? If you want the new year to count in your life, you are going to do some cultivating. I'm always, you know, studying, cultivating my ground for my garden. Okay? You know, we can't expect strawberry and berries and plum, you know, 6 months from now if you don't do any things. Okay? If you don't start cultivate today, you have got to plant, to plow, and to reap. Let me ask you one question. What are you planning to harvest in this year? Okay. Do you think about that? Have you ever thought about that? What are you planning to harvest in this year? 365 days from today, how are you going to be any different? How are you going to be any different? We all have 365 days in a year. If you plan to have difference in your life a year from now, you've got to start cultivating now. If you need to cultivate some, get some harvest, you need to start cultivate now. You need to cultivate some new habits. You need to cultivate some new relationship. You need to cultivate some new activities. And probably you need to cultivate some new skill, and it just doesn't happen automatically. If you are going to be any difference from now or for the next 5 years, you have got to start cultivating now. And what do I want difference in my finance? What do I want difference in my personal work with Christ? What do I want difference in my relationship to my children? You have got to start cultivating now. We don't expect ourselves, you know, sitting there for the whole year, and we're still expecting, there are lots of fruits happened. It's going to happen in my life. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. If you don't sow anything, you won't reap anything. What is it you need to start cultivating in your life? Think about that. What do you need to cultivate in your life? Think about that. You notice that the verses say, plow new ground. You look at the word new. Don't plow out the old ground. Don't do the same old things you have already done. What works last year is fine. But now it is a new year. New decade. Plow some new ground. Stay out on faith. Don't be nervous. Don't be afraid. Take some risks and rely on His presence and His word. Plow new ground. That involves courage. New possibility require courage. It's risky to try new things. It's much safer to stay with the familiar. Many people in the next decade will not, live 10 years of their life. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying you are going to die. Many people in the next decade will not live 10 years of their life. They will not be 10 years more mature. They are going to live 1 year of their life 10 times. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people live their life that way. They just go around in circle and repeat the same thing over and over again. Probably you and I, we always, done these stupid things. We always, go around in circle and repeat the same things over and over in our life. We never think of renewing ourselves. It's a new year, but there is nothing which is new to you. Just the old things, just the same old things. And they don't People don't plow new ground. They don't slip out on faith or take any risk. Notice, no, the result of plowing new ground. Do you notice the Bible says what is the result of plowing new ground? Plowing new ground for yourself. Plant righteousness and reap the blessing your devotion to me will produce. And God said, you will reap a blessing from me and you are as you have devoted to me. It's time for you to turn to me, your Lord, and I will come and plow out blessing on you. Do you have such kind of conviction? He said, I want to bless your life. The Bible says, Lord said, I want to bless your life. Plow new ground. Plow new ground. Step out in faith and take the risk. Say, God, I'm going to go for it. And this year is my year of dedication to you. What could hold you back? Is there anything that hold you back? Some of you might say, you know, my past, Reverend. You know, you don't know my history. You don't know my background, my past. No, I've blown it so much. God could never use me. I would just mess up everything. And because of my past, I would never expect anything from God. Probably we always, you know, we always have, you know, such kind of thinking previously. But what the Bible reminds us? Can we read together? Don't cling to the events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the new things I am going to do. The Bible reminds us, don't replay your history. Don't always, you know, listening to what you have done before. Don't cling to the event of the past or dwell on what happened long time ago. Watch for the new things I am going to do for you. Do you have such kind of conviction? Don't keep dwelling on that problems, that hurt. Don't keep going on, you know, dwelling on that relationship, that difficulty, that failure, that tragedy. Don't cling to the past. Don't dwell on it. God says, I'm going to do a new things in your life. New possibility will require courage, brother and sister. Are you spiritually and emotionally prepared for this new year? You know, this is the first new year I spent in, you know, I'm here in New Zealand. And I found that, wow, it is totally different, you know, new year than my previous one. You know, we only have one day holiday previously. Every new year we have one holiday. And if the holiday is on Sunday, then probably we are lucky to have another day on the next day. We have two holidays. But you know, we all plan for long vacation. We all enjoy our life and we love, really love. And I'm really, you know, Chinese are just too, you know, too stupid sometimes, I think. You know, we spend lots of time to work like cow. And we don't know how to take a rest. You know? But once I came here, I found that, wow, people work, people have their own family, and people really know how to live their life, you know? They just know a life, but they really enjoy to spend the time with family. We plan for a holiday. We plan for the vacation. But do we plan our life? Do we spiritually and emotionally prepare for the new year? And are you prepared spiritually for your life? I'm also asking myself, am I prepared spiritually for my life? For my family? And there will be new problems that will overwhelm you if you are not. And there will be new pressure that you will cave into if you are not. And there will be new possibility that God wants to bless you and do it in your life and you will miss if you are not ready. How do you become more creative? How do you have more conviction? How do you have more courage? How do you get it? We get it from the Word of God. We get it from God. Second Corinthians, can we read together? When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new people inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. When someone becomes a Christian, the Bible reminds us, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new people inside. You and I have become, to become someone with a brand new person inside. The Bible reminds us he's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Can you circle the new life? When you open your heart, your life to God, it's like, starting over again. Every time when we open our life to God, it's like starting over. This is what, baptism illustrate. We put the people under the water and then bring them up. And that's a symbol saying, I died to my old way of living and I'm now starting over again. It's a symbolic meaning inside there. It looks like, being born again. A brand new people lifestyle. A fresh start on life. So baptism is a picture of that truth. And when anyone becomes a Christian, they have a new life. The happiness you are going to looking for is not found in the New Age movement, brother and sister. The happiness you are looking for is found in the New Life movement, the relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And one of the biggest mistakes that Christians make is that they think that they can live their life of a single commitment they have made back in 1776. My spiritual birthday is 1985. I can't remember which day. I grew up in a Christian family. I went to the Sunday school when I was a kid. My parents take me to the church on every Sunday, but when I was high school, I stopped going to church. I feel that what are those kind of people doing in the church? Look at their behavior. They just know how to pray in the church, and they never know how to behave themselves in my house. Do you know what I mean? They don't know how to behave themselves in my house. I have a very bad relationship, poor relationship with my father at that time. I just don't know what is the matter, for going to the church. There is nothing important for me. So I reject to the church. I laugh to the Christian people, to the Christian friends. I say, man, start going to the church. Okay. Talking dirty and then reading Bible and pray. I don't like that type of life. I don't expect to be like that. I rather to, just to be honest to myself. I talk dirty. Okay? I'm honest to myself. Okay? I don't want, to be like your style. Telling lies and going to the church. And bow down and pray to the Lord. Forgive me. And doing the bad things again. My birthday, my spiritual birthday is 1985. Right now, I'm 29 years old spiritually. 29 years old. Still young, right? So I know the, Kama 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 Kili, that song. The first 10 years of my spiritual Christian life, I tried to live it on the basis of that one decision. And that decision, I thought, was to carry me on the rest of my life. I wondered why I wasn't growing as I'm Christian. You know, why I wasn't developing, become all that God once wanted me to be. I prayed, but I didn't see that many answers. And in after the 10 years, of, in 1995, I discovered that the Christian life is a continual renewal and a deepening of the commitment. Not just a once-off for all decision, not just a once for all decision, but an ongoing commitment and daily renewal. Each day, we need to go deeper, just like my relationship with my wife. We need to, you know, we need to quarrel, we need to argue, and we need to review ourselves and humble to each other and commit to each other. Each day, we need to go deeper with our God. So the main mistake many people make is that, you know, is they think the decision way bad, and then it's going to carry them. But it won't. When was the last time you updated your commitment to Christ? Ask yourself. This morning we are going to have a Holy Communion. Ask yourself, when was the last time you updated your commitment to Christ? Last year commitment was fine for last year. But it's not going to make it this year. There will be a new problems, new pressure, new possibility. And I can't think of a better time to update your commitment. You need a deeper commitment, a new commitment for a new year. How do you know when you need to make a new commitment, you say? Okay, if you ask me, how do I know when I need to make a new commitment? When I need to recommit my life? When I need to update my dedication to Christ? One of the ways I want to share with you, when you know the joy has strained out in your life, your relationship to Christ begins to be replaced by rules and regulations and rituals and routine. The Christian life becomes more a matter of, you know, pushing buttons and attending meetings and doing things. That's all fine. But you need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Just like, you know, sometimes my wife said, I really hate you. And finally, he said, I need to commit myself, recommit myself to you. And sometimes I said to him, I just don't know why I'm married with you. After, you know, we have been married for how many years? I can't remember for how many years. It's so long ago. I married in 1993 until today. You need to say, Lord, I'm going to put aside that old ways of serving you by law, by rules and rituals, and serve you in the new way of relationship. I need to serve you in a new way of a relationship with you. Can we read that together? Now you can really serve God, not in the old way, mechanically obeying a set of rules, but in a new way. The new way is serving God through a relationship. Some of you are stuck in legalism. And you thought that was pleasing, you know, that was pleasing to God. And God said, no. I want you to serve me in a new way. Love me and to be loved by me. So another way you can know when you need to recommit your life is you are trying to live You know, your new, if you are trying to live your new life, you are make a new commitment to Christ, but you are still trying to live it in the old lifestyle. You are trying to be a Christian yet hang on to all the old ways and values, and you are sucked out in the culture, and you are trying to mix the new with the old, and it won't work. Jesus said, you can't put new wine in the old wineskin. Can you understand that now? You can't put new wine in your old wineskins. They are busted. They were busted, and you are fall apart, and the joy will drain out of your life. God wants to do such great things in your life, in my life. I don't know a better time to say, Jesus Christ, I personally recommit my life to you in this new year. In this new year, I want to reopen my heart to you. I recommit myself to you. New problems require what? Character. Creativity. New pressure require conviction. A new possibility will require. The courage to do it. I prepared a song this morning. I really love this song, but probably I'm too old. I don't know, most of us never sing this song. But when you sing the contemporary song, you can just easily, you know, feel the lyrics. But if we sing the hymn or traditional hymn, we need to, you know, sing it carefully and use our mind to sing, not just emotionally, but use our mind to read the lyrics and see that what's the song is going to remind us. I am going to sing once for you all. I never sing English song in front of so many people. So I only sing English song in my toilet, in my bathroom. But I'm going to sing this song for you all once, and then we can sing it together.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I work beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't see to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Can we stand up and sing verse 1?
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for the skies days may turn to grey. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I work beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things I bought tomorrow, I don't see to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand.
Verses 2.
I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path there is my portion, maybe through the flame of love, but His presence goes before me, and I carve the way of His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
I will ask the music team to continue to play the music softly, and I also want us to pray together to prepare for ourselves for the sacraments, for the Holy Communion. I want to ask you this morning, why don't you talk to God right now in your heart, in your mind? You don't have to say anything aloud. Our Lord knows you. He knows the very things you are thinking right now. And just talk to Him and tell Him what's on your heart. You don't need a prayer to pray. Just talk to Him in your heart. Say, God, I want to go deeper with You in my life. I want to open my heart to You. I want to make my life count. Say, Lord, I need Your creativity. I need conviction. I need conviction from Your Word and Your presence in my life. I need courage to take advantage of the new possibility that will be before me. You need the courage. You need the conviction. And you also need the creativity. Just go for it. Pray to our Lord. Open ourselves to Him. And you need a new you for a new year. If you never open your life to Christ, saying, Jesus Christ, as much as I know how, come into my life and make me the person you want me to be. Some of you are already Christian, and you need to say, Lord, I need to serve You in a new way, not mechanically obeying the rules, but have a relationship to You. Right now, I'm going to invite the elders to come forward to prepare for the Holy Communion. The Holy Communion in the church is for those who have accepted Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and to get baptized, commit ourselves in Lord Jesus Christ and commit our church in His church. Jesus said, I love my church and I sacrifice for my church. We need to love our Lord, and we also need to learn to love His church. For those of you who haven't, who are newcomers and you don't know what's the relationship between you and Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to take the Holy Communion, but I will invite you to pray for yourself. You say, Lord, I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know much about the relationship between you and me, but help me to understand you more. Help me to go deeper with you, to understand your word. And one day, I hope that I can trust you, I can understand the Bible, and obey your words, and commit myself to you and to the church.